O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned at the beginning of this service, this is the last in the series entitled Improving Your Serve, which has been based around a book by Charles Swindoll. Being a servant is a critical lifestyle choice, and it's very often, so it seems, to be missing in many sectors of our society today. There's something that needs to be rediscovered. And as Christians, we're directed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to live a life of giving and serving. Now, last Sunday, we thought about the dark side of serving. To end the series, we shall consider a more positive note. For serving definitely has its rewards. They're numerous and far outweigh the consequences. And when we think about them, they motivate us to keep going. I had a pause this morning and somebody on Facebook, oh goodness knows who, sort of thing that Lynette would probably put on, was about a dog that grew long hair and become over length, you know, looked terrible, frightened of human touch. And of course at the end of the clip, here was this delightful little puppy that they were wanting to find a home for. And from fear to devotion. And it was actually interesting to begin to watch that transition, a little miraculous as one who's handled dogs in my past, to see that transition happen quite so quickly. But there is a response. And I thought, well, that would bring anybody who has had the opportunity of serving in that way, encouraging them to keep going. But we see that in human ways as well with people. Now, as Christians, we believe we shall spend eternity with God. And part of that exciting anticipation is his promise to reward his servants for a job well done and of receiving his smile of acceptance and hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, one of the things that sometimes perplexes me, and I said this to Kay, I think as we were heading up to the lake, where we had a retreat up there which the bishop led this past week, is to what extent do you really believe that? To what extent do you really believe the promises of God for you? To what extent do you hold these things? Or do you, in your mind, which is the temptation, I think, say that's for somebody else? Or to put it down, or push it aside, or not even contemplate it? And therefore not embrace it. It's a perplexing question for me. Because if we don't, well, what's the point of it all? What's the point of it all? There is an eternity ahead of us that you will have if you are in Christ. And now in the present, you're called to be his disciples wherever in life you find yourself. Sunday's almost an optional extra, so it seems, in this day. Next week I'm going to do a two-part series with Bishop Richard not coming, and it's titled Weird, because normal's not working. And we need to think about those things. It's actually a forerunner for some time in the future of a longer series, but I just wanted to dabble in it and have a think about these. So there'll be two Sundays with a 10:30 and 4th in between. We'll be looking at that. Paul wrote this: using the gift God gave me, I laid the foundation of that house like an expert builder. We heard it in our reading this morning. Others are builders on that foundation, but all people should be careful how they build on it. The foundation has already been laid, is Jesus Christ, and no one can lay down any other foundation. But if people build on that foundation using gold, silver, jewels, wood, grass or straw, their work will be clearly seen, because the day of judgment will make it visible. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work to show what sort of work it was. If the building has been put on the foundation still stands, the builder will get a reward. Now, the Bible spells out three specifics of reward. First, most rewards are received in heaven, not on earth. That might feel a bit sad, but it's the reality. While here on earthly rewards from God are given, special honour is kept for that day when each person's work will become evident and they shall receive a reward. It is clear that most of the rewards a servant will receive will be given after death and not before. Secondly, all rewards are based on quality, not quantity. Did you notice these words? Fire will test everyone's work to show what sort of work it was, or as other translations have it, the fire itself will test the quality of each person's work. You see, we can be impressed with size and volume and noise and numbers. God's eyes is always on motive, authenticity, and the real truth beneath the surface. When he rewards servants, it will be based on quality, which means everyone has an equal opportunity to receive a reward. The elderly person who prays will be rewarded as much as the evangelist who preaches to thousands. The quiet, faithful friend who assists another in need will be rewarded as much as the strong, natural leader whose gifts are more visible. A cool cup of water given to a hurting person bruised with misfortune will be rewarded as much as the great act of sacrifice on the mission field. Do you get what I'm saying? Too often we may think, well, they're going to get to... I had a landlady who used to always say this to me. Well, you'll get to heaven because you're doing this, that and the other. I thought, gosh, if that was going to be my guarantee for heaven, I think I'm on shaky ground. Because it's not about how much one does, but the attitude of the heart. God promises to reward the quality of our work. The glory may be postponed until eternity, but it will come. Which leads to the third fact about rewards. No reward that is postponed will be forgotten. Make no mistake about it, the Bible clearly teaches he or she shall receive a reward. God doesn't settle his accounts at the end of every day, nor does he close his books towards the end of a life. Know this, that when that day in eternity dawns, when time as we know it ends, no act of serving will be forgotten. God will reward your every act of servanthood. It may be postponed, but acts of service will not be forgotten, and God keeps his promises. I think that's amazingly good. As Mary Bruce used to say, I can do something that God can't. I can remember my sins that I've sought forgiveness to. Because when we confess them, he forgets them. They're erased. They're no longer there. And isn't that cool? That is, I'm so grateful for that knowledge. Are you? The problem is we keep on digging them up, don't we, and having a look at them and an inspection of them and think that God, you know, can't forgive me because I've still got. And he doesn't know what you're talking about because he has no record of it. But he does remember and record the acts of serving. Someone once counted all the promises in the Bible and came up with an amazing figure of almost 7,500 promises. That's enough to keep you going for a while, isn't it? Some of these specific promises servants can claim today. There are two groups of promises, those that have to do with his, God's faithfulness, and those that have to do with our faithfulness. Let's look at them. Firstly, God's faithfulness. In Isaiah 41:10 we read, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And further on in Isaiah we read, but Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me." And the Lord responds, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion of the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you, says the Lord. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is amazing. God is more faithful and remembers more deeply than a nursing mother. And he watches over and cares for us. Even when we are in the depths of despair, he has not abandoned us. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul wrote, "So do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker," with regret, "but our spirit inside has made us new every day." So if you're feeling a bit shaggy on the outside because the joints don't work quite as well, actually I was celebrating yesterday because I had to get down on the floor as I frequently do at Mark's places. We're working on it and I had to shove my hands right underneath the kitchen counter. And I did this about three or four times and I thought, this wasn't so bad today. Usually I feel like I'm sort of winding my joints down to get there. There is, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. But what's going on inside? Our spirit inside is made new every day if we allow the Spirit of God to keep working to refresh us. Problem is we forget and don't allow the Spirit to keep working that newness in us. He goes on to say, we have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will only last a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. And in Philippians 4, he writes, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, our faithful God will never forget you. And perhaps the most well-known promise that Christians can hold on to and this whole thought is in Revelation 21 and 22. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among people, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And into the next chapter, and there shall no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his bondservants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have need for light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord God shall illumine them. And they shall reign forever and ever. Glimpses of eternity. It's something to hold on to, isn't it? That this life is not the end of the story. That there's something magnificent beyond it. I was talking to somebody just this week who had a near-death type experience. And he saw things and he said to me, and I kind of, were they real? And I said, you have had an opportunity to see beyond the visible world. It's now your call as to what you're going to do with that piece of information to the world beyond it. Are you going to capitalize it? Are you going to find the source of life that secures that glimpse that you've had so that it becomes something of hope? The magnificent, incredible, unchanging hope. I encourage you to take hold of these words. There will be thankless days and long nights when these promises will get you through. But of all the promises of God's faithfulness in taking special note of his servants, one stands out and it's in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unfair. How can he forget your hard work for him? Or forget the way you used to show your love for him and still do by helping his children? What does it mean to say that God is faithful? It means he is a rock solid in his commitment to his people. He will not abandon them. He is committed and faithful to the promises he has made. He will keep his word. He is loyal, dependable, resolute, steady, and consistent. God isn't fickle. One, he remembers our work, each individual act. And two, he also takes note of the love within us that has prompted the deed. No one on earth can do those two things. We forget, but God remembers. We see the action, God sees the motive. This qualifies him as the best at record keeper and judge. He alone is perfectly and consistently just. Servants, you are in good hands. Even the best of servants get weary. And God desires is to encourage us to be diligent and to trust him in spite of the demands. This is why the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "And we are anxious that you keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, so that you will get your full reward. Then knowing what lies ahead of you, you won't become bored with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent, but you will be anxious to follow the example of those who received all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience." That's God's faithfulness. Regarding our faithfulness, there are again three statements that stand out of promises of God's faithful servants, from God to his faithful servants. Firstly, "So, dear brothers and sisters, since future victory is sure, be strong and steady, always abounding in the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted, as it would be if there was no resurrection. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted." And there are moments where about you think, gosh, what was the point of all that? What was the point of doing that? What was the point of investing my time in that? In God's economy, it's never wasted. Secondly, Paul says this in Galatians, "We must not become tired of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up. When we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. We will receive our harvest of eternal life." And the third one, "Do your work with enthusiasm. Work as if you were serving the Lord, not as if you were serving only men and women. Remember that the Lord will give a reward to everyone, slave or free, for doing good." The Lord will give a reward to everyone for doing good. When we have done what was needed, but we are ignored, misunderstood, or forgotten, we can be sure that it was not in vain. When we did what was right with the right motive, but received no credit, no acknowledgement, not even a thank you, we have God's promise, we shall receive a reward. When any servant has served and given and sacrificed and then willingly stepped aside for God to receive the glory, our Heavenly Father promises they will receive a reward. So for our encouragement as servants, four things. First, every act of servanthood, no matter how small or large, will be remembered by God. Two, he takes special note of the heart. He knows the love behind our actions. Three, as servants reach out to others, Jesus' life is modeled and the spirit of thankfulness is inspired. And fourth, special and specific rewards are reserved in heaven for those who practice the art of unselfish living. Lord God, you call us to be servants, your servants, servants to one another, servants for you. Lord, we thank you for the encouragements and the promises that you give, that you do not forget, that you remember. You reward us in some measure now, but into eternity it will be fully rewarded. Lord, our motive is not to do these things just for the reward, but to serve you and to serve you faithfully, that you would get the glory and that lives would be touched by you. So may we, in our circumstances, allow your life to touch others through the service that we give to them. And help us also in that service to boldly say, who you are and what you could mean for them as you mean for us. Not because we are better, but because we are forgiven. Lord, let your life and your light so shine through us that people would see your good works and give you glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen.